Now on radio.lds.org, the Mormon Channel presents Q&A.
Welcome to the Mormon Channel's Q&A, questions and answers. You provide the questions and we do the very best that we can in trying to answer those questions for you. If you have a question for the Mormon Channel, feel free to drop us an email. Our radio email address is radio@ldschurch.org. You can also call us toll-free 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our toll-free number is 1-877-MY-LDS-321. We received an email and a question that says, quote, "There seems to be no end to war and conflict in the world today. Will there ever be peace? What can I do to help bring peace to the world? Where can I turn for peace?" Close quote. That's a very good question, and we're happy to be able to answer it for you. It does seem like from the very beginning of the world, there has been some kind of opposition. In order to begin our search for peace, we will take a brief look into what the opposite of peace is and where it came from. One place to start would be a talk by Elder Dallin H. Oaks. Elder Oaks talks about the beginnings of war and contention and how it can be prevented.
Referring to the first families of the earth, Moses wrote, "And in those days Satan had great dominion among men, and raged in their hearts, and from thenceforth came wars and bloodshed." In his own day, Moses gave the Lord's promise to the children of Israel, "If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments, I will give peace in the land, neither shall the sword go through your land." Throughout the Book of Mormon, the Lord declares, "Inasmuch as ye keep my commandments, ye shall prosper in the land." As we seek to understand the causes of wars, persecutions, and civil strife, we can see that they are almost always rooted in wickedness. The mass murders of the 20th century are among the bloodiest crimes ever committed against humanity. We can hardly comprehend the magnitude of the Nazi Holocaust murders of over 5 million Jews in Europe, Stalin's purges and labor camps that killed 5 to 10 million in the Soviet Union, and the 2 to 3 million non-combatants killed or died of hunger in the Biafran War. All of these slaughters and others like them were rooted in the ancient wickedness Satan taught that a man could murder to get gain. The mass murderers of this century killed to acquire property and to secure power over others. Through the prophet Moses, the Lord God of Israel commanded, "Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet." Obedience to these commandments, which are the bedrock moral foundation for all Christians and Jews, would have prevented the greatest tragedies of this century. We still live in a time of turmoil. There are wars between some nations, armed conflicts within others, and violent controversies in most. People are killed every day in some places, and hatred is practiced in many more. Peace is a victim everywhere. If only we could heed the call of the Lord God of Israel, "Come unto me, all ye ends of the earth." As the Book of Mormon teaches, He has created all flesh, and the one being is as precious in His sight as the other. He has given salvation free for all men, and all men are privileged, the one like unto the other, and none are forbidden. And He inviteth all men to come unto Him and partake of His goodness, and He denieth none that come unto Him, black and white, bond and free, male and female, and He remembereth the heathen, and all are alike unto God. The blessings of the gospel are universal. And so is the formula for peace: keep the commandments of God. War and conflict are the result of wickedness. Peace is the product of righteousness.
That's Elder Dallin H. Oaks. Those final words are very important. Let me repeat them for you. Elder Oaks said, quote, "War and conflict are the result of wickedness. Peace is the product of righteousness," close quote. This is not the first time where the call of righteousness will bring peace. President George Albert Smith said the following, quote, We live in a day when the scripture is being fulfilled among the nations, wherein the Lord said through one of his prophets that in the latter day the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. That from Isaiah 29:14. With all the wisdom of the world, no group thus far has been able to point the way for peace with the certainty that that is the way. We who are assembled here this morning are fortunate to know that there is a way for peace that alone will produce results. And that way is to keep the commandments of God as revealed to the children of men anciently and in our day. If that way were followed, all the problems that are so serious in the world could be solved, and peace would come to this unhappy earth, close quote. Like President Smith said, keeping the commandments is one of the first things that you can do to bring peace to the world. Elder Oak spoke further about this gospel peace.
Each of us should pursue the occupation of peace. But what is peace, and how do we seek it? Many think of peace as the absence of war. Everyone wants that kind of peace. Songs celebrate it, and bumper stickers proclaim it. Many good people promote peace by opposing war. They advocate laws or treaties to abolish war, to require disarmament, or to reduce armed forces. Those methods may reduce the likelihood or the costs of war. But opposition to war cannot assure peace, because peace is more than the absence of war. For over 50 years, I have heard the leaders of this church preach that peace can only come through the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am coming to understand why. The peace the gospel brings is not just the absence of war, it is the opposite of war. Gospel peace is the opposite of any conflict, armed or unarmed. It is the opposite of national or ethnic hostilities, of civil or family strife. In the midst of World War I, President Joseph F. Smith declared, "For years it has been held that peace comes only by preparation for war. The present conflict should prove that peace comes only by preparing for peace through training the people in righteousness and justice and selecting rulers who respect the righteous will of the people. There is only one thing that can bring peace into the world. It is the adoption of the gospel of Jesus Christ, rightly understood, obeyed, and practiced by rulers and people alike." End of quote. A generation later, during the savage hostilities of World War II, President David O. McKay declared, "Peace will come and be maintained only through the triumph of the principles of peace and by the consequent subjection of the enemies of peace, which are hatred, envy, ill-gotten gain, the exercise of unrighteous dominion of men. Yielding to these evils brings misery to the individual, unhappiness to the home, war among nations." End of quote.
That's Elder Dallin H. Oaks from the April 1990 General Conference. You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A at radio.lds.org. We received an email asking whether or not there will ever be peace on the earth. We found an interesting quote that answers your question. Here are the words of President Joseph Fielding Smith. He said, quote, "I read from another revelation just a moment ago where the Lord said that the time was coming when peace would be taken from the earth. And I declare to you that it has been taken from the earth. And I say now, no, I don't say it. The Lord says it. It shall not return until the Lord comes. So, let them cry peace. Let them seek for peace. They will not find it until Christ comes, who is the Prince of Peace, to take his place where he rightfully belongs as King of Kings, ruling and reigning upon the face of the earth. There will be no peace in this land or any other land, but there will be plague, trial, and suffering from this time forth until Christ comes. The only escape is by repentance on the part of the people," close quote. President Thomas S. Monson, speaking on behalf of President Ezra Taft Benson, said the same thing in the April 1991 General Conference, saying,
"The price of peace is righteousness. Men and nations may loudly proclaim, 'Peace, peace,' but there shall be no peace until individuals nurture in their souls those principles of personal purity, integrity, and character which foster the development of peace. Peace said he, cannot be imposed. It must come from the lives and the hearts of men. There is no other way.
That's President Thomas S. Monson speaking on behalf of President Ezra Taft Benson. With these quotes, it can easily be seen that until the Lord sets foot again on this earth, there will be contention. However, that does not mean we have to succumb to contention. We must each ask, as you have asked, what can I do to help bring peace to the world? We have already mentioned that keeping the commandments is a great place to start. Here is President Spencer W. Kimball reiterating that point, saying, quote, "The Lord gave us the formula, simple and plain. He says, I will give you peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid." That from Leviticus 26:6. No cold wars, no hot wars. All we have to do is live up to the commandments of God, and we can destroy all the munitions. And there is no nation under the sun today or yesterday or tomorrow that can touch us. Is that fanciful? Is that wishful thinking? Not if you believe in God. If you know that God lives and that Jesus is Christ and that they have the world and everything within their power, it is not fanciful. Close quote. Again, you are right by asking what you can do personally, because peace begins with each one of us. Listen to Elder Russell M. Nelson teach us this principle in the April 1989 General Conference.
Prior to his ascension from the Holy Land, a unique blessing was pronounced by the Savior, who said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." His peace is not necessarily political. His peace is personal. But that spirit of inner peace is driven away by contention. Contention does not usually begin as strife between countries. More often, it starts with an individual, for we can contend within ourselves over simple matters of right and wrong. From there, contention can infect neighbors and nations like a spreading sore.
That's Elder Russell M. Nelson. You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A at radio.lds.org. If you'd like to download a copy of this program, go to our website, radio.lds.org. You can podcast or download this program so you can listen to it anytime that's convenient for you. And if you have a question or a comment for the Mormon Channel, maybe even a comment on this particular program, you can email us, radio@ldschurch.org. Feel free to give us a call toll-free anytime, 1-877-MY-LDS. 321. Like every facet of our lives, we should be asking where we can turn for an example. Already in this episode, we've mentioned that the Savior taught peace and promoted peace everywhere he went. Could we not then look to him to find out what we can do to bring peace? Elder Howard W. Hunter taught this principle beautifully and eloquently in the October 1984 General Conference, saying,
"Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." On the same occasion, he said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." Throughout his life and ministry, he spoke of peace. And when he came forth from the tomb and appeared unto his disciples, his first greeting was, "Peace be unto you." But Jesus was not spared grief and pain and anguish and buffeting. No tongue can speak the unutterable burden he carried, nor have we the wisdom to understand the prophet Isaiah's description of him as a man of sorrows. His ship was tossed most of his life, and at least to mortalize it crashed fatally on the rocky coast of Calvary. We are asked not to look on life with mortal eyes. But with spiritual vision, we know something quite different was happening upon the cross. Peace was on the lips and in the hearts and in the heart of the Savior, no matter how fiercely the tempest was raging. May it be so with us. in our own hearts, in our own homes, in our nations of the world, and even in the buffetings faced from time to time by the church.
That's Elder Howard W. Hunter. Always keep that in mind, that no matter how fiercely the tempest is raging, you can find peace with the Savior. Listen to the words of hymn number 105, Master, the Tempest is Raging. The winds and the waves shall obey my will. Peace be still. Peace be still. Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea, or demons, or men, or whatever it be, no waters can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace be still. Peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace, peace be still. Now listen to the concluding verse of this song and hear the hope for peace. Master, the terror is over, the elements sweetly rest. Earth's sun in the calm lake is mirrored, and heaven's within my breast. Linger, O blessed Redeemer, leave me alone no more. And with joy I shall make the blessed harbor and rest on the blissful shore. To finish answering your question of what you can do to help bring peace to the world, listen to Elder Russell M. Nelson in the April 1989 General Conference give us a list of suggestions.
What can we do to combat this canker of contention? What steps may each take to supplant the spirit of contention with a spirit of personal peace? To begin, show compassionate concern for others. Control the tongue, the pen, and the word processor. Whenever tempted to dispute, remember this proverb: he that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. Bridle the passion to speak or write contentiously for personal gain or glory. The Apostle Paul thus counseled the Philippians: let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Such high mutual regard would then let us respectfully disagree without being disagreeable. But the ultimate step lies beyond beginning control of expression. Personal peace is reached when one in humble submissiveness truly loves God. Heed carefully this scripture: there was no contention in the land because of the love of God which did dwell in the hearts of the people. Thus, love of God should be our aim. It is the first commandment, the foundation of faith. As we develop love of God and Christ, love of family and neighbor will naturally follow. Then will we eagerly emulate Jesus. He healed. He comforted. He taught, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Through love of God, the pain caused by the fiery canker of contention will be extinguished from the soul. This healing begins with a personal vow: let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. This commitment will then spread to family and friends and bring peace to neighborhoods and nations. Shun contention. Seek godliness. Be enlightened by eternal truth. Be like-minded with the Lord in love and united with him in faith. Then shall the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, be yours, to bless you and your posterity through generations yet to come. I so testify in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
To conclude this episode of the Mormon Channel's Q&A, you had asked, where can I turn for peace? A good way to answer that is to let the Mormon Tabernacle Choir do the answering for us. Listen to this inspired hymn and let the Spirit fill you with peace, the Lord's peace.